In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. During Christmastide, the Church contemplates the great mystery of the incarnation of God the Son, the taking of flesh by the eternal Word. And on this eighth day of Christmas, we gather to recall that the flesh of God the Son came from one of us, from a daughter of Israel, from a virgin who conceived her son by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the conception of the Lord Jesus, celebrated by the Church on March 25th, his mother Mary was able to say to him what until then only God the Father had been able to say from all eternity, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And 9 months later, on the day of the birth of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem, Mary first beheld the face of her son, who is God with us. One of the consequences for the eternal Word of his becoming man was that he was then subject to the law of Moses and to all the limits and necessities of human nature. So St. Paul wrote to the Galatians in today's second lesson, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Then in the gospel today, we read of the first requirement of the law, which was fulfilled by the Word made flesh. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Two other designations for today's feast are the circumcision of the Lord and the holy name of Jesus. And today we call it by the ancient title of the solemnity of the Mother of God. From the intersection of these three names for one feast, we begin to glimpse the profundity of this great mystery. From Mary, God took human nature to himself so that he could give us a share in his own divine nature by uniting us to his son in the grace of adoption through faith, hope, and love. This is the wonderful exchange which transformed the expression "the face of God" from a metaphor into a reality. Before the incarnation, God possessed no physical form or material existence. But after the incarnation, the Lord Jesus could say of himself, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And the profound mystery of the union of the divine and human natures in the one person of the Lord Jesus Christ is the solution to understanding two paradoxes of the Christian faith. The first paradox resolved by the incarnation is that we can and must say that Mary is the mother of God, rather than simply the mother of Jesus, or even the mother of Christ. We must call Mary the mother of God because the Son of Mary is also God the Son. Therefore, to deny the title Mother of God to Mary is to deny the divinity of her Son. And so we arrive at the paradox of calling one of God's creatures his own mother. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. But Mary is not only the mother of God. She is also the mother of the Church. If God is our Father by adoption, because we are brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus through faith, hope, and love, then Mary is also our mother in the order of grace, and we can draw near to her for instruction, consolation, and intercession as children confident in her maternal love. And when we turn to Mary with such filial devotion, then she always says to us of her Son, do whatever he tells you. The second paradox resolved by the Incarnation is that the Old Testament prohibition on the making of images or icons of God was repealed in the New Covenant. Before the Incarnation, every human effort to portray God in art of any kind was merely the projection of human imagination onto the divine and was therefore idolatrous. But after the Incarnation, we can portray the face and form of God because God has become a man. Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, is, as the letter to the Hebrews puts it, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his being. In other words, after the Incarnation, we can see God. In the first lesson today from the book of Numbers, we read that God entrusted to the priests of the Old Covenant a prayer of blessing to consecrate the children of Israel as his people. And in that prayer, the Lord speaks of his own face, his divine countenance, as a manifestation of his love for Israel, as a sign of his sanctifying grace, and as a pledge of his glory among us. The meaning of that ancient prayer was transformed for all time by the Word made flesh, in whose human face we finally see the ineffable reality of God Most High. And so on this eighth day of Christmas, we rejoice that the invisible God became visible as a man like us in all things but sin. And so we pray, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Friends, a Savior has been born for us, who is Christ the Lord. Come, let us adore him.